I'm Pave, Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
What's up, everybody? It's Friday in this great country of ours. We got championship weekend on Saturday. We got the college football playoff selection on Sunday. We've got a great slate of NFL on Sunday as well. And then there's a lot of good college basketball. So we've got a ton to talk about. We had a high-scoring game last night and Thursday night football with some bad football, saw another key injury to the Detroit Lions, and it looks like Penn State may have found their coach. We'll get into all that, but before we do that, Sean, let's jump right into Augusta Precious Metals and tell me about
it. I think that's a wise idea, Sage. Yeah. Let's get these people getting their precious metals and gold right. It's great to be with you today. I'm back from travel, and again, sorry that we were had to push it back an hour, guys. But you know what? When travel, the other people, like I said, they mail Fridays in. We don't bitch out on people. Okay, we just don't do that. We supply.
We're here.
Content. You damned rights we are. All right. And I'm see when I do this, it makes me feel like I'm giving you a code, right, Segs? When I touch my ear, but I'm really okay, got it. I'm not Secret Service. I'm actually raising the volume in the game. Hey, Augusta Precious Metals. Listen, I don't know what you're doing with your retirement, but we've got about $38 trillion in debt. It's going to go up in 2026. That's not one person's fault. Who's it affect? It affects me. It affects Segs. It affects you. It affects the billionaires. It affects the millionaires. Everybody's retirement's relative, right? But it still matters. Now, if I told you something over here is got more value than something down here, gold, dollar, you know what I'm talking about. Now, listen. There's a link in my description, and you can text Sean, S-E-A-N, to 35052. There's a guide in there. It's a short, free guide called the $40 trillion threat report. I want you to check it out. You go in there. Just take a couple minutes to go over it, and basically just explains what's going on and gives you options. It's not some long-time study thing where you got to go and memorize. We're not taking no SAT test. But I'm telling you this, when it comes to your retirement, listen, in football and sports, you saw the game last night. See it all the time. Clutch shots. The clock's rolling, man. The clock in football's rolling. You run out of clock at 60 minutes. If you're not tied, guess what? You get to stepping. We're playing next week. And then eventually you ain't playing anymore. When it comes to your retirement, and who doesn't want peace of mind and confidence in retirement? Augusta Precious Metals has a great solution and great education. That's the key here. Listen, nobody's asking you to go buy $100,000. Well, I'd love you to spend $100,000 on precious metals. It'd be wise for you, but nobody's saying that without you being educated on the why. The why is everything. The why in sports, why'd you throw it there? Why'd you miss a tackle? Why were you out of position? Why were you in position? The why in gold, precious metals, retirement. Why'd you do this when you were 20? Why'd you do this when you were 60? All those things. Augusta Precious Metals provides the education for you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got value here and less value here, gold, dollar, precious metals, tangible assets in my hand, why wouldn't you? And you guys have seen how precious metals have taken up. It ain't going south in the next year or two. It's going to continue to rise. Jump all over it. And it's not a gimmick. It's Augusta Precious Metals. Again, hit that link in my description to go to Sean. Text Sean to 35052 and get that $40 trillion threat report. Just go over it because I want you to have confidence in retirement. I don't care if you're 30. We got young ones that listen on the show. If you prepare now, Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. At the end, say as we go on, Segs is a tweener. He's between me and that age. And then there's me. And whether you want to retire or not, isn't it nice to have that confidence? No, I got this. Washington doesn't control me. That's where Augusta Precious Metals comes in. Check it out. If nothing else, go educate yourself and see if I'm not right. Go check it out. Listen, take a look for a minute at that threat report. It's worth understanding the game we're all playing. And we are playing a game. The question is, when you throw a pick or lose a game, it's a game. When you throw a pick with your retirement or not getting on this with Augusta Precious Metals and Precious Metals and Gold, that may – do you want to go back to work when you're 75? You think anybody's hiring the executive salary you have or even $20 an hour you have at 75? They should, but they're probably not. You'd want to face that. Security, peace of mind, and confidence in retirement. Augusta Precious Metals, go check it out. Again, text Sean at 350-52, Segs. And I know you've looked at it, Segs. It's pretty alarming, isn't it? It is. Yes, pretty alarming. Yeah, there you go.
Definitely. A couple times I've been looking at it, trying to decide what I want to do exactly. But last night, Sean, we talked about this game yesterday. You took the over in the Cowboys. I took the Lions in the under. So we split basically one and one each way. Now, for actual betting, I just took the Lions minus the three and a half.
And I took the over.
Three. Yes.
And I took the over in the game.
We both won some money last night. But watching that game, it was clear the Cowboys' offense wasn't in sync. They were putting up some yards early in the game, but they couldn't finish in the end zone. That first half, you know, just had 9 points. CeeDee Lamb was going off, but then he sustains that injury, the head injury, early into the third quarter where, you know, in the end zone.
The fingers and hands are scary, and the fingers
the neurological part of it. Very, very scary. And then we sat here yesterday, and I praised George Pickens. I talked about how good he's been. He's doubled up what DK Metcalf has done in Pittsburgh and how the Steelers look dumb for trading a second for DK and only getting a third for Pickens and all this stuff. And then he goes out there and plays like the exact guy we've seen in Pittsburgh since he was drafted and why the Steelers wanted to move on from him. And he cost them the game last night. So I just want to get your immediate reaction on George Pickens' effort in this game last night as the Lions win 44-30.
And I took your double down and raised you as well when we talked about it. I said, the one thing about it is, you know, is the headache bigger than the talent? And in Dallas, the talent's been bigger than the headache. And everybody's talking about big pay raise and all that and keep them and maybe the best receiving duo in the league, right? All that talk. And then I'll be damned if he doesn't go out there and play like a lazy, casual, disinterested turd. And that was what you were concerned about when you went and got him or when Pittsburgh had him. Enormous talent, through the roof, wow factor. And then you'll wake up one day and you say, what in the hell is this cat doing? Well, it reflected on the Cowboys. We also said the Detroit's running game. How many Gibbs, how many touchdowns did he have last night?
Three.
There you go. So
Montgomery,
they took over.
Won.
Right. Better. The run game had four scores between those two guys. Six. That's the best duo in the running back backfield there is in the league. So you start to look at all this, Six. It hit. The only thing, I mean, kind of went, we said, you know, that there's a chance that they could score a lot of points the way these offenses are. The urgency that needed to be played with. And the Cowboys, while they started off, their urgency wasn't hitting the ground running as much as you'd want. Then they jumped back into it, started to creep back in, and then Detroit kept, you know, continued to separate themselves, and obviously to the tune of 74 points between the two. But I don't know if Pickens' head was somewhere else, if he was late for that. I mean, it looked like a guy that you understood why Pittsburgh moved on from him, right? Nobody's ever going to question the talent, but you're going to question the – that's the thing, the consistency to show up every single night, doing it when you play or once a week, doing it even when it's not going well, if you're pissed, if you had a bad day, you got to compartmentalize, hang it on whatever coat rack outside before you walk in the clubhouse and get your ass going. Whatever it was, he looked disinterested, lazy, casual, and jogging at routes to come back down the sideline. Oh, he's throwing it to me. What do I always tell you about the Sags? I hate the decoy, right? It looked at times like he thought he was running like a decoy. Yeah. No, when we get you out, everybody's available. And I thought the Cowboys are not going to make the playoffs now. You do know this. They are not getting in. And here's been the problem with the Cowboys over the years, Six. Over the years, the complaint. as I've said about a couple, they're sometimers. Sometimes you scratch your head and say, what the hell are these clowns doing? And then sometimes you say, that's a Super Bowl caliber playoff team. Because we said yesterday, if they got in, we're able to go on this roll, and they did get in, it would have mean they had a great December and they were dangerous in January. And here you go out and do this, and they kind of flounder around, and Detroit looked again like the Lions and the Ben Johnson Lions were supposed to. Dan Campbell's attack went after it. They established their run. They handed the ball in the red zone, got the end zone. Goff played well. And here we are now, Detroit hanging in there in a very, very tough, big-time winning division, and the Dallas Cowboys. And with the Philadelphia Eagles team in their division, who, while the record's nice, they're not playing their best football, Segs. This was a chance to go. And the team last night looked like George Pickens played at times, and that was bothersome to me. After all the praise, it goes to show you, Segs, you know, I know you can't change the spots on a leopard sometimes, but sometimes they get bigger and smaller, right? I thought George's had shrunk down. It did.
Yes.
And I'm not going to judge him by one game, but I felt like I was watching an enormously talented Pittsburgh Steeler George Pickens last night.
Yeah, and you know, and it wasn't only Pickens that didn't play.
No, he just was the shining part of it. Yes, that's the only thing.
It was, right. With him,
their defense wasn't any good either.
Effort. Yes, it was right. More about the effort put forward by Pickens, but Dak.
And I don't teach effort, Segs. I've always said, and we don't teach effort. If I got to teach effort to a pro, let alone a seventh grader, then we got no shot. What were you saying about Dak, Segs?
Dak missed multiple throws, including some touchdowns. He had Pickens in that second quarter, that last drive that they were trying to go down, make it, you know, get it close, and Dak threw it 6 yards out of bounds when Pickens had his corner beat and stacked and everything, just set up for a perfect touchdown. And Dak didn't come close. And then when he is close late in the game, Pickens lets the ball drop basically 6 inches from his foot instead of just, you know, just turning and catching. He just let it drop. I mean, it was just a bad night for the Cowboys.
Segs, you know what else is crazy? Here you do. You load up on Pickens, and I validate you. I load up on Prescott. You validate me last night.
Yeah.
And both those guys go out and say, well, you know what? Let's not play tonight. Let's just not show. You know, I'm saying, well, I think Dak's underappreciated. It always puts up numbers, doesn't complain, does his thing. And both of those guys left a lot on the table last night, Segs. And the Cowboys' defense just isn't good enough to overcome a good offense, Segs. You can't put your defense – you know, giving them the ball, but also put them in a bind where you're not matching because they're just not good enough. Hey, you do that to Denver. Denver may hang in there, right, because of their defense things. We can name a handful of teams that'll do that. But the Cowboys just aren't good. First of all, when you can hang 44 on them and then your offense doesn't show up, and that, quite frankly, Segs, is a little bit of an overrated 30 because they didn't look like a 30-point team last night. Yeah. And if you're Detroit, you're kind of looking at saying, we curb-stomped them, but man alive, our defense, we can't give up 30 points to a team that didn't show up last night. So, but Detroit did have 14 points, got the over, took care of their business, and you and I made some money. But, man, I guess the moral of this story is don't load up on Prescott and George Pickens on the love we gave them last night.
Yes, for sure. We mentioned the CeeDee Lamb injury. With him, with the way that he's going to miss a game or more. You just hope that everything is good with him. And now with them, I mean, essentially out of the playoffs because they're 2 games behind Detroit.
Yeah, they're not mathematically eliminating Segs, but for all intents and purposes, they got to have a semi-football miracle.
They're out of the playoffs. Detroit, who got a big win last night for their playoff hopes, still sitting on the outside, that 8th spot. But they also lost Brian Branch for the season with an Achilles, which is their, you know, all pro safety, very good player that kind of leads that defensive backfield, which is really banged up itself in general. This is a big, big loss for the Lions defense that couldn't afford to lose another guy.
No question. And while they're good, they're also, they can't afford to lose good players. They just can't on that side of the ball. We know their offense can score. And now done for the year, but Segs also, and all this year matters. You know that's going to creep into next fall.
Yep.
The Achilles, and for a guy who's shredded his knee twice and seen buddies who've shredded their Achilles, we talk about injuries you don't want to have, I'm just telling you. Now, he may work a miracle, and he's a hell of a football player and a tough guy, man. But you'd rather have a knee injury than an Achilles now. You just would.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it's fine. It's probably been like that forever, but – This isn't one you can, you know, rehab and get it strong, break the Cybex machine and the Orthotron that you're doing, and bam, I'll see you in July. Nah. And we are in December 6th. That's usually in, what, 10 to 12 months, sometimes longer. If you're lucky, let's say it's a great rehab.
Yeah.
Takes them to October. So they're more than likely, unless there's some new medicine I don't know about, Segs, Achilles injuries. And then there's always that tread lightly early on because you're afraid that quick burst step. You're like, ah, it happened once. I don't want to see it happen again, right? And God forbid for him, but it's a bummer. I think we saw last night, Segs, right now, that neither team, while talent on both sides and the Cowboys were playing good football, and we saw how Detroit's been up and down, neither team right now is Super Bowl ready. They're just not. While Detroit's a good team, that injury to Brian Branch is a problem, and they're going to have to shore that up. There's parts of both teams, especially the Lions, that do have Super Bowl. They have Super Bowl players, and they got some Super Bowl parts of it. But the sum with the injuries, that's a devastating loss to them and to Brian himself. It's a bummer.
Yeah, so we'll see how they come back from that injury, along with plenty of other injuries, including Sam LaPorta, the really good tight end. They've also lost for the season. Something else happened in the NFL yesterday that I thought was pretty interesting from the standpoint of Darius Slay asked his way out of Pittsburgh, you know, just asked to be released, and they gave it to him. Well, you have to go on waivers first, and all the reports were he wanted to go back to Philly. And Philly needs some help in the defensive backfield. He wanted to go back to Philly. Well, Buffalo said, no, we're going to claim you. We need some defensive back help. We're going to claim you. And Darius Slay has basically said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to go play there. And this makes you question, how much does a guy really want it? Does he just want it his way and that's it? And if that's the case, I don't want to tell a guy what to do, but just retire. If you're going to try and push your way out of one organization in the Steelers, which you just did, and now you don't want to go to Buffalo, who's in the playoffs. It's not like this is, you know, Arizona who grabbed you, who's not going to be in the playoffs, not playing for anything really. Okay, I understand that. This is a team that's in the playoffs, and yet you're saying, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just not going to play.
Segs, I don't know where he is mentally.
Right.
It feels like not in the, you know, football mentally I'm talking about. The other stuff I don't know anything about. I don't know where he is right now. Player empowerment's real. If the Steelers are letting you walk your way out of there and put you on waivers, they don't hold you in the highest regard because they're not very good defensively. Right. They're just okay. That's one. Two is he didn't want to go where who picked him up, and now he may want to go somewhere else. But as he also hinted that he may just walk away and retire too, right, Six?
Yeah.
Slay's kind of said that. I mean, has he hinted that he may not play?
Yeah, you could tell it's coming down to the end here.
Right. Here's what I think. If I'm another team and a guy begs out of one and they let him out and doesn't want to go to the other one, and maybe somebody else he wants to, like you said, Philly, wants to go there, do you really want to pick him up? Is he all in? I don't think an NFL to be a good player over a long – and he's had some great – he's been a good player.
Yeah, right.
But this league is too tough to be kind to end to collect a paycheck. Now, like I said, if he gets his wish and they do it, but – if you're the third, if you're the team that does eventually, if he finds his way to a team he wants to go to, are you sure he's all in? What difference is he going to make right now?
Right.
So for me, it's shit or get off the pot. And if he's going through other, you know, stuff that he doesn't know if he wants to play, if you don't know if you want to play or do know if you want to play and you take a little bit of time off, you're not all in. That's all I can say. When the season and the fall's going. Now, I understand in February or March you're struggling. Your body's beat up in the offseason. But during the season, and you're in this playoff run wherever you are, and even in Pittsburgh, Dave, listen, the Cincinnati Bengals got a chance to win the friggin' division. So, which is crazy. And this weekend's game with Burrow, it's like, if they find their way, dude, I will trip out. But that being said, so you're in a run. You're a good playoff team. But I got to know if he's all in, because I have no interest in picking up a guy who's kind of in just because of his past and he's a good player in the past. Last year, year before, 3 years ago, don't mean a hill of beans to me right now, because I know this league's way too hard if you're not all in physically, mentally, and emotionally. And it feels to me like he's not. And Pittsburgh felt to me like it was too easy to let him go. Correct?
Right.
What's that tell you, Sigs? I mean, does that tell you that maybe how many years has he been in the league now, Sigs? Where are we at right now?
I'd have to
with Slay. I can't remember. Is he double digits plus now?
I want to say he's just shy.
I thought nine years. I was thinking nine, but is he hit double digits yet? Regardless, he's been a good player, but it's too.
Yeah, he is in double digit years.
Okay,
2013 was his rookie year. So
he's 12 years. This 12 year 12. So wasn't I wanted. That's why I asked double digits. I said something's telling me nine. So he's a 12 year. He's at the end anyway at his position. Segs. It's just you know, we don't usually have 15-year DBs unless you've moved to safety and you're there at safety and you're playing on special teams and being one of those guys, right? So it's filling in a little bit. I don't count on Darius Slay to help your team very much between now and then. Let's just put it that, no matter where he goes. I'll just put it that way.
Right.
Much respect for his career. But Segs, also, maybe you wake up one day and you say, you know what? I know I'm not the same anymore, and some guys can't handle that. You move on. But it was too easy for Pittsburgh to let him roll. And if Philadelphia doesn't want him, then what are you going to do, Segs? And,
right.
And he's still got to be let go. He didn't report. Now, did we get a latest, Segs? I was on a plane. Did we get a latest on the team where he is now? They haven't let him go yet, have they?
As far as I've seen, it's
He's still under their umbrella, correct?
Yes.
They haven't cut him already. So maybe they're hoping he does and get talked into it. But you're at the stage of the season, you got to be all in, man. Buffalo,
right.
Buffalo's all in, and that's a team that's Dow Jones this year as well. So other than that, I don't know much about it. But 12 years in the league, there's not much tread going to be left on that tire for a guy at his position anyway.
Yeah. So we'll see what plays out with that. Some news we're getting, you know, before the show started and stuff. It looks like Penn State has found their head coach in Matt Campbell. They're working to finalize a deal here today at some point. ESPN was saying there's still multiple steps to be finished to finish the contract. So who knows if this Penn State organization, whatever college, front office, whatever you want to call them, can get this deal done with Matt Campbell. But this feels like... I mean, remember how hot of a name Matt Campbell was for like a four-year stretch?
It's been in three tiers when you go ahead and finish it. I'm thinking the same thing.
But this was, you know, 5 years ago when Matt Campbell was the hot name. I mean, he was hot name in the NFL every year, and then he never went anywhere. And you kind of just wonder who was really pushing Matt Campbell's name out there, you know, because it never came to fruition. And it wasn't like he was at an Alabama or an LSU or a Florida State. A big time program. He's been at Iowa State the entire time. And this stat I found funny, versus top 25 opponents in their career, Matt Campbell, 16-27 at Iowa State, James Franklin, 15-28. So Matt Campbell, one game better. So maybe you are getting better, Penn State, but this whole situation, this whole coaching search has been a disaster for Penn State, and getting Matt Campbell doesn't feel like they got any bit better.
Here's what this is, and first off, you can call it whatever the hell you want. I have respect for any coach. Matt Campbell's a good football coach.
Yeah.
This is as lateral a move as there is. It is. And 5 years, like you said, here's where you went in three tiers. Hot, got to Iowa State, what are you going to do? Turned him into, these guys are pretty damn good. Hot commodity, 4 or 5 years, kept staying. He's not Lane Kiffin hot, you know, where everybody wanted him, but he was Dan Lanning hot. Does that make sense, Segs, when it comes to, you know, that feeling, right, that, oh, man, Dan could go here or this guy could go here. He was the next guy down, but during his time for 4 or 5 years, every year he was talked about. And then they hit a lull. And everybody, the star, the shine wasn't there. It was a little duller. And then it started to come back. You got him winning again. Last couple of years, right, Segs? I mean, got some wins where it's like started to look pretty good. This, and it gets down to this. First of all, Penn State fans, I'm sorry you got to deal with this, but I can tell you right now, you talk about a botched. There has not been a program this acclaimed, this historic, this much in need. That, think about this. They were a national championship contender when we started this season. People thought that they could win the last couple. And it's Penn State, so we're always going to talk about it. But they were considered to be quarterback. Ooh, going to be a first-round draft pick, an Aller. And they got players. This is Penn State. And then you watch them play and they sucked and they moved on. This is simply, we're on about guy number 15. I'm not saying Matt Campbell's not better than two other guys, eight other guys there, but it got down to it. This isn't we were in hot pursuit of Matt Campbell. This is what's the best name left that may want to move at a school that that it's time.
Right.
We talked about Mike Tomlin in the NFL. Matt Campbell's been there a while. It's time for Matt Campbell to get a new gig, even though I know he could stay there forever. Like Colin Klein going back to his alma mater at Kansas State as coordinator, he'll do great there. But 12 years from now, 10 years from now, guess what? Colin Klein may be the head coach at LSU. Who the hell knows? Right. So these things run their course. And Matt's a good coach. But Penn State, this is, you know what? You want to know how much fanfare is going to be about this? They're living on hope now. The fans are. They went out, oh, what about this guy? How about this guy? That guy's re-signed with this team, and this guy's going here, and we're not going to get this guy, and we can't afford that guy. And, man, we botched it, and I don't know, and players are leaving. We're a horrible recruiting class. And Matt's going to get paid, and it is an upgrade. Iowa State's a hell of a program, but guess what they're not? They're not a blue blood Penn State. So maybe he goes there and does it, but you did not do anything. You're not at the top of the roller coaster. You're still on the climb like you were with James Franklin. And neither one of them, unfortunately – programs different, more expectations over the years at Penn State. Neither one of them have been able to elevate against big teams at the right time. And Matt Campbell, he'll bring a different energy and a new one in, and he's a good coach, but this isn't anything. Segs, they're not going to be waiting at the airport for him to arrive when he signs the contract. They're not going to be standing outside the facility and their offices saying, we just got the best guy available. Think how long this has gone. Think how much recruiting's been affected. Doesn't it feel like, okay, who's got a big name but isn't the biggest name and kind of fell down? We didn't get this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And let's go, oh, well, 5 years ago, he was the hottest name in football. You know, that never left. Well, right. Here he is, and he's at Penn State. So I may have been moved by this 5 years ago for Penn State. I'm not moved by it. Although I think Penn State needed to make a decision, and Matt Campbell's a good coach. We're going to find out how good Matt Campbell is in the Big Ten at that school where expectations are through the roof. And the guy before him, good coach, now at Virginia Tech, but couldn't meet the expectations. And they're not exactly giving him a full cupboard when it comes to recruiting right now, Seg. Sorry to tell you.
And that's the difference. Normally when you go to a school like Penn State or that same level of school, you have a pretty full cupboard. You have some really good recruits in there. You got some kids that you can really work with. And
you've got people that from the portal want to go in there, Segs. Yes. Like, I want to go play Penn State. Right.
But this was botched so bad that their recruiting class isn't even ranked anymore because it goes to like 150 or 160 and stops. And then the other teams basically don't have enough recruits to get enough points to be ranked. Penn State is not ranked. And I don't think people realize how bad that is for a program to even just have 1 year. It's not as bad as it would have been 10 years ago. Now with the transfer portal, that can help you get going really quick. But, man, they really screwed this up, and they're not making it easy on Matt Campbell if and when he is named the next head coach.
He's bringing the old knife to gunfight. He's bringing a pump squirt gun that you give your 8-year-old.
Yeah.
With what he's got at the place. He's bringing a pump squirt gun to a gunfight. And the Big Ten's a fist fight gunfight. He is bringing a Nerf ball. Does that make sense? He's not going to hurt anybody right now. Now, can he elevate him, pull it at him? Fine. And Matt, one thing, Segs, though, I will tell you, Matt is used to coaching non-5-star players.
Yeah.
And Penn State, it's Penn State. You're going to get guys, legacy players, and you're going to get it because Penn State. But right now, there's probably a couple 3-stars or guys, I only use that because to judge what kind of talent, that are like, nah, I'm still, before Matt even got there, that no, I'm not going there. They're just a guy, meaning the university. It's just, oh, it's Penn State. Tell me when we talk Penn State, do you even, oh, yeah, they're just, it's like boredom. They don't even move the needle right now.
Right.
You know when you go to the fair, say, you take that big sledgehammer, try to hit that thing, and it goes up and hits the bell? Dude, it's like when he pulls it back, not Matt Campbell, but the Penn State, the fans, where's he? Pulls it back and it falls over his shoulder because he can't lift
it.
Yeah. And the sledgehammer or mallet, whatever you're calling it, that's where they're at right now. Dude, we're talking about Penn State. I'll be honest with you. Iowa State's probably a better team right now.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Matt gets paid, and it's a great challenge. So, but he is used to working with a not – now you say that and he has a couple wide receivers that are playing with the team. He's right. a really good player developer, but he is going in shorthanded. It's 5-on-4. It's power play, and he's the team that's shorthanded Segs going into the Big Ten next year right now. He just is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow his first year if and when he signs with Penn State. Another coaching move, Billy Napier headed back to the Sun Belt Conference. He will be named the head coach at James Madison. Good move for James Madison. I think if you're Billy Napier, it's not a great look to start in the Sun Belt with Louisiana. Go to get the job at Florida, struggle mightily basically the entire time you're there, and now have to go back to the Sun Belt. Tough for him, but at least he's still got a head job. I think he can do a good job at JMU, which has turned into a power G5 program. And remember, they just made the jump to the Division I level
just a few years ago.
I mean, it's grown quickly there, and I think he's a guy that can go in there and continue to build off what others have built before him.
James Madison's not going to lose. James Madison did a great job with this.
Yes.
And now Billy can take the experiences at a big program like Florida, the disappointments, and get over them quickly. You don't pout about it and right. apply them and take them to a really damn good program. James Madison's a hell of a program, Segs, as you mentioned. Not only were they good before they made the jump, they're still competitive. Mm-hmm. And they get players, another place to develop them. And you know what? It's one of those places, the head coach that goes to James Madison, man, he's one of those guys you go to hire. And this may be a good rejuvenation part for Billy Napier. Go in there, dominate, give yourself a chance, and you'll have another chance. And he may find that he friggin' loves it. Scott Frost told me a while back that he should have never left Central Florida when he went to Nebraska's alma mater. He said he did. Segs and Pruitt, we were having a conversation. He wasn't mm-hmm. dogging his alma mater, but you know how it didn't work out. He said, you know what? You get to chasing, and I'm paraphrasing that part. You get chasing. He goes, that team, that program, when it was going, he said he was happiest there. And sometimes we are so – we all do it, Segs. Chase. And then sometimes you realize, you know what, this – I feel pretty good here. And Scott right. was always made for that, and he was a tough guy, but it just didn't work. And Billy Napier will be fine. Billy Napier knows how to coach football. They yeah. just weren't very good, and it didn't work out. But he's going to a good program, and this is a solid move for both sides. JMU is not going to fall off because Billy took over and their coach left. But I like it. I like that Billy jumped right back in, chance to get himself back to work, and have a lot of respect for him. It didn't work out at Florida, but this is a good hire, and this is no hack program. James Madison can play. They'll get players, and they've developed them, and that is a really, really good program, and Billy will fit in really good there. I'm anxious to see what kind of staff he gets. I really am.
Yeah. I mentioned this weekend it's championship weekend in college football, and we'll talk about those games in just a second. But Duke head coach Manny Diaz, who's playing in the ACC championship, coaching Duke against Virginia, he had something interesting to say when it comes to the college football playoff. So we have video of that. Let's hear what Manny Diaz had to say.
I will say this. The Atlantic Coast Conference champion will always be in the college football playoff. It's going to happen this year, regardless of what happens on Saturday. It's going to happen every year. That's just the way it's going to happen. We have four Power Four conferences. The competition in this Power Four conferences is unlike the competition in anywhere else. That's not to disrespect really good teams that are not in the Power Four conferences, of which we played two this year and lost two this year. But week in and week out, in terms of who you play and how you have to prepare, that's why there's a difference. That's why it's called the Power Four.
Manny Diaz may not be a happy camper on Sunday if he beats Virginia this weekend, because I don't think they will jump the winner of North Texas Tulane. And if JMU wins, I don't think they'll jump them. So we could see a pissed off Manny Diaz come Sunday at about noon Central or about 11:30 a.m. Central.
You know what, Segs? Doesn't there feel like a method to how he said it? He said it so matter of fact that like right. somebody got in his ear and said he said it like it's a guarantee.
Yes.
And I mean, if you don't understand the playoff structure and you tuned in and said, you've been Manny. So, oh, damn. All we got to do is win and we're in. Manny, yeah. it was almost like Manny put it in their lap saying, oh, there's no way you can pass up the ACC champion. Right. There's no friggin' way. And we ain't just talking about hoops. We're talking about football.
Right.
So he's unequivocally. And it wasn't, well, he didn't, there was no, well, I would like to think that the team that wins this should get in. I'd like to think that we played enough. It was, oh, The ACC is getting in. That's why it's called the Power Four. We lost to a couple really good schools, and we're they always get in, and we're getting the winner of this get in regardless who goes. I mean, if you didn't know anything about it, you're thinking, damn, we're going to stare at Duke in, and I'm with you. Love Manny. And I love the fact they did it. There's a these guys play that psych game too with them, like, oh, that's a no-brainer. Like, you're dropping it in their lap. Like, we're the ACC champion if you win the game. Now they got to go win against a good Virginia team, and Manny's done a nice job. But Segs, I'm sitting there listening to it too. I'm getting caught up to say, well, Manny, that guarantee doesn't exist right now. We're not sure about that. Now, you go hang 63 on them, the other two teams look bad, maybe. But I hate to break this to them. I think Manny's going to be watching the playoffs like we are, even if Duke wins. Now, that's no disrespect to Duke, but he was unequivocal. He's just matter of fact, the winner of this is going. I don't think that – I think that Manny may say – not what would our guy Corso say? Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast.
Not so fast. Well,
look at – and the he's, you know, flying through that talk and saying, you know, the ACC's getting in. And he's like, no disrespect to the group of five schools. We lost to two of them. Like, you don't throw that in there. You're politicking right now, and you're trying to say it as a matter of fact.
Don't remind us, because most of us forgot you lost to two group of five teams. Slow your roll, dude. You didn't even
And one of
that,
those
right.
teams is Tulane,
right?
Who may be getting in, so they would be ahead of you. So it's just like, what do you do? And then they lost to UConn. Like, you can't lose to UConn. I know it's been better there with Jim, what's his
Mora
name?
Did a nice Jim Mora.
Yeah, Jim Mora. There you go. But it's not like UConn's this world beater. I mean, their coach just up and left to go to Colorado State. So, I mean, Manny Diaz did not help himself in with that comment.
Yeah, he didn't need to slide in. We all know you respect other coaches and other programs. Don't respect them that much that you land that in the doggone committee's lap. Let them know you got beat by two of them. Sags, I'm going to tell you, I don't think whatever happens in this game for Duke, I don't think they can get in. But
no,
you know what? Then again, like I said, how much trust do you have in the committee to put – I haven't even figured out the analytics and the equation that would put Duke in. But I can tell you this, just winning against Virginia, that ain't it. That's not the only thing that's going to have to happen.
No, of course it doesn't. 8-5. I mean, we're sitting here talking about how three loss teams don't belong in.
Yeah,
now Miami might be right. They're going to just put a five loss team in because they won the ACC?
Hence why anybody that says conference champions, now use that argument, used to, if you're a conference champion, you get to go. No. Just like I kind of have a problem with a 7-9 team gets to host a playoff game in the NFL, right? Or would it be? It'd be 7-7. It'd be 8-9 team, right? A sub 500 team gets to host a, you know, those type of things. Like, no, you guys were just shitty in the NFL if that happens. But you can win a game. You can't go through and win them all. There is no way in hell you could put a team with that many losses in the playoff. And I'm so glad we did away. I understand the politics of it. I'm so glad we did away with you win the conference, you're in. No.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're one of the 12 best teams. And quite frankly, as much respect as I have for Duke, they're not one of the 12 best teams. They're just not. I don't need you don't have to be a conference champ to go. And it's all over the place proving it here.
Yeah.
Teams that are staying home that aren't going to the conference championship, there's a handful of them are going to be in. So there you go.
Duke isn't one of the top 35 teams, top 40 teams in this country. So, I mean, I hate to say it. I know it worked out in the ACC. Well, let's face fact, the ACC isn't good. Like, it's just not a good conference this year.
Of those Power Four, guess who's the worst?
I mean, it's the worst by, I mean, there's like.
There's a wide margin right now, Seth.
Very, very wide margin. All right, let's jump into just. We'll just run through some games. We'll go real quick through them all weekend.
A little
we'll go
sense.
NFL into college. We'll just talk about them real quick, and then we'll do our six-pack of picks. And then before we do our six-pack of picks, we'll talk a little LeBron James because something funny happened last night, and then today is what made it funny.
Did he flop?
Well, you know he flopped.
Did he go talk to the other team sideline during a timeout, wave him on? And
he probably did a lot of that. But yes, let's jump to this big game. The AFC South, such a fascinating division this year. And we've always said at the beginning of the year, we said the Texans were going to run away and hide in this division. And right now they sit third in this division. But you have a massive matchup with the Colts and the Jags. This weekend, looking at this game, you know, I don't know how the Jags are 8-4, but yet the Jags are 8-4 and tied with the Colts record-wise, who were off to such a hot start. And we kind of just said, well, Trevor Lawrence isn't playing that great. The Jags will eventually go away. Again, here they sit at 8-4. What do you make of this matchup between these two teams?
That the Jags are going to go away. I think it's a good matchup. You know what it is? Jags, we're on Fast and the Furious 12.
Yeah.
This is who they are. Tease you. Then they'll go two games. They're going to somewhere in the next couple of weeks, Sakes, before Christmas, maybe on a two-game run, like it starts here and lose again next week. They're going to lose a game or two, and everybody say, what? How'd you lose that game? I'm kind of being a little bit hyperbolic, but this is who they've been. One week you're like, this team's real. The next week you're like, why'd we draft this guy? The next week you're like, man,
right.
2 weeks in a row, they're impressive. And then you go, and this is around the time I start to wonder what Jacksonville team's going to show up. You're 8-4, doing a good job. If you're asking me where I'm betting my money, if I was, it'd be on the Colts. And the Colts have – they got to get it going. There's no question about it. But – because at the beginning, well, 5 weeks ago, we thought that they were as good as any team in the AFC around there, whatever it was, yeah, yeah. Right? Their start. I understand they're good and they're talented. I guess for me, my emotion – I don't trust the Jaguars on a week-to-week basis. Give me the Colts in the game, and I'm just going to go out and say that at some point in time – if you blink, the Texans are going to chase down the Jaguars. Be careful.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch these final few weeks for these three teams specifically and how this division does pan out. And you just look at the Jags. Think if, you know, a few years ago, they just drafted Aiden Hutchinson over Trayvon Walker. Last year, you don't spend what you don't give up what you gave up to go get Travis Hunter. And you stay at 5 and you get Mason Graham. Now you have to go with Josh Allen Hines, who's a good pass rusher. You have a very good defensive line that you can build off of for a long time.
Sex, when they went out and got Hunter, they were three or four players away from being three or four players away, and they needed all those. Now Hunter will end up being a good player, but right, he's done. You know, I mean, what's how healthy is he right now, Sex?
Right, he's on IR. There
you
go.
That's exactly right. So they I know you have to because his talent was enormous, but. When you give up that much on a team that needed bodies, I just even at 8-4, I'm still not confident with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not.
We got the 6-6 Steelers, who we've talked about quite a bit this week with Mike Tomlin and what's going on with what James Harrison said. They face the 6-6 Ravens, and it looks like Lamar Jackson will be good to go in this game. This is in Baltimore. But with the way these two teams are playing, I don't know who to pick. I don't know that it matters. You mentioned that the Bengals are sitting two games back. They play Buffalo this week. If they happen to be Buffalo, now all of a sudden we got to start talking about the Bengals being a factor in this division, just a bad division. So what do you like in this game?
Well, I like them all not to sniff late January. I can tell you in this division. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers overall, just watching them, they make my eyes hurt watching them play football right now. I'm telling you, the Steelers. Baltimore 1 week, I think, here they go. They're back. Then the next week, I'm like, at times they look tired.
Yeah.
If I'm saying right now who's going to win the division, I would lean on Baltimore. Sags, I can defend Pittsburgh's offense pretty easy. Honestly, if I got a decent – they don't do a whole lot of – they don't strike a whole lot of fear into me. I don't want to get dived so deep into the X's and O's at this stage on a Friday, but if people watch. I'm not going to insult people's intelligence to watch. What about that offense when you line up on Sunday and you say, oh, we're playing Pittsburgh, that you say – I'm talking, and you can include the great 40-plus-year-old Hall of Famer and four-time MVP.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do anything that scares me. Sags, they're going to live in the teens and the early 20s if they're getting – they're just not good enough offensively. And in times when they haven't been very good offensively, their defense has been lights out. They're not either. And now with all the stuff around, now would it surprise me if Mike Tomlin was able to pull the rabbit out of his hat and all of a sudden, here we go. The Pittsburgh Steelers are hanging around. You know what? You win 9 games in that division, you might feel pretty comfortable. This team, the Steelers aren't very good. It's the lesser of two evils. The better team in my mind is Baltimore. More explosive talent in certain parts of the offense. And their defense is better. I don't care what it says statistically. I'll take Baltimore's right now. Baltimore Ravens should win this game. I don't trust the Steelers offense one single bit. I think they're average and they're boring.
Yes, it'll be a bad game to watch. It's not going to be
normal. And Segs, normally when we talk about Steelers, we say, yeah, they may not thrill you with all kinds of excitement, but they're physical and wear you out, right? They knock you in the mouth. They don't even do that.
No.
They don't even do that. So I would laugh my ass off if Burrow went on a run, which would be like him late in the season. This is who they are always. They start slow, something heads on, somebody gets hurt. But if he's playing, they'll go on a 3 or 4 or 5 game run. And if they do that, I'm going to tell you this. What do we got left? Six, 5 or 6 games? Five? Six.
Five, I think.
Five, right? We're in week 13.
Yes, five.
13. Five games. And they've got
five counting this week.
What, they got 4 wins right now, Six? Or 5 wins? 4 wins, right?
The Bengals, 4. 4-8.
Yeah. If they run the table, they'll win the division.
All right, Joe Burrow, step up now.
Run the table. They're going to win the division.
Now's your time.
Does anything tell you Baltimore, Pittsburgh are capable of running the table offensively or defensively? Yeah, agreed.
No. Maybe the best game of the weekend, the Bears travel to Lambeau to face the Packers. That's the 9-3 Bears, the 8-3-1 Packers fighting for that division. Winner will be in good position. Now, they do play each other again in Chicago in 2 weeks, so that can come right back. But this is a big game for both teams.
I friggin' love this matchup. And it's outdoor. It's just everything about it, Segs, I love it. It's my former division, which you know I love. Mm-hmm. I love that where it's being played. I hope it snows. I love that it's going to be down and dirty, kicking ass. You've got phenomenal – the Micah Parsons and an outstanding Packers defense can get after you. You got a playmaking football that's getting better all the time. I don't care what anybody says about the inconsistency of time. Caleb Williams is getting better and playing really, really game-winning football. Come down to special teams, flip field, or kick, Segs. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. I do. I think it's going to be an old black and blue division fight. I think so. And it's – I know we say this at times. It's not going to be one play, but it will be like one series of 3 or 4 plays. Somebody's going to lay one on the ground. You're going to force a fumble. This isn't – they're not going up and down the field for 40-37. That didn't happen in this game, although capable. I just like, and I kind of want to see how the Bears, and Packers too, but the Packers, I want to see how the Bears, it's been a minute since they've been in a position like this, Segs. I want to see how they handle this. I didn't say adversity. I've watched them handle adversity this year where they haven't played good in some games and found a way to win.
Yeah.
I want to see how they handle December football, which this is a bit foreign to them, that roster.
Yeah.
Because they just don't know what it looks like to kind of see this and the urgency and how important this game actually is, not only in just the game, but in playing in your own building come January. Right. So I friggin' love this game. Two good quarterbacks that are on they've got star power, you know, receivers that can go over the middle and make a play and run after the catch. I honestly think, Segs, there's going to be one drive where somebody's going to, you know, make that one error, that two errors when it's 3rd and 6 and, you know, you a penalty and then 3rd and 11, strip sack fumble, and they get the short field goal kick. I think this is a grinded out old school, even with those quarterbacks. It won't be pretty a lot of times.
Yeah.
But that's the way the Bears have lived this year. But there will be plays in this game made by the stars that leave your jaw. Caleb's going to make them. Jordan's going to make them. And so is Micah Parsons and a few others. It's going to be a fun watch. I just want to see how the Bears deal with December pressure.
I thought it was interesting. Micah Parsons came out, I think it was yesterday, and said something like he doesn't like the Bears because how they disrespect the Packers and all this. I'm like, I follow the Bears every day. I haven't seen 1 ounce of disrespect towards the Packers from the Bears. Like, he's talking from the Bears, not their fans. The fans of both teams go back and forth, whatever.
Thanks. Players create that. They'll chase a ghost and create that stuff just to get it on lockers and sheets.
Right.
And say, what they say about us, right. Of course. And Micah's looking for another edge and another motivation. That's okay.
It'll be a fun matchup with those
two. I can tell you this. Both of these teams respect each other because it's a fist fight, man.
Yes.
And this division's as big a fist fight as there is this year.
Yes, definitely. And Lions are still creeping. That's the team you got to watch in this division as well because they – you know, get into the playoffs. They're dangerous with that offense.
One thing I do know, too, that Ben Johnson as the head coach has got to prove – and I don't know what his record is, but to my knowledge, when I think about it, Segs, LaFleur wins in December games, right, late games. Like he knows, yep, how to get him in position. I don't know what his record is. I'd be shocked if it wasn't overwhelming in the win to loss. Mm-hmm. I didn't even look today, getting off the plane, but he's really good under late season pressure to get to the playoffs, right? Yeah. December stuff. He's been pretty good.
Yeah. Switching over to college championship weekend. Do you give BYU any shot to beat Texas Tech?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They, Segs, I watched that whole game and I know you did too. We when mm-hmm. we headlined that when they came around during the season.
Yeah.
And it was tough. They went in there, and the problem with BYU, they were getting their ass kicked early, Segs. They got physically manhandled, which is not who BYU's been. They usually can step up and deliver. They got punched, staggered, and standing eight count from the first quarter on, and it was impressive. Well, and I know we can go through it. If you're a player, Segs, I never thought of this when I was playing. Well, they beat us once, so we're the favorite because I'm not even talking about the points, but well, it's tough to beat us twice. Well, you know that. You don't think about it during the game. Well, they got the advantage because, well, Texas Tech isn't going into the same. Well, we beat them once, so it's really tough to beat them, so we got to do something spectacular. No,
yeah.
If I'm Texas Tech, I come out and punch them in the mouth again like they did. I would think there's going to be energy. No one's, you know, head coach is staying at BYU. McGuire's done a great job. They're really doing I love the physicality. When's the last time? And when Texas Tech has gotten better about it, but at no time, Segs, in your 15, 20 years, have we looked at Texas Tech until the last couple of years, and in particular this year, have we looked at a Texas Tech football team and said, man, that's a physical team. It was, yeah, a Big 12, spread it out, throw it. You score 40, they score 44. That was it. Even when Mahomes' time, they've changed their – it's like Texas A&M. They have shifted that mentality and paradigm to, we are going to physically punch you right in the friggin' mouth. Yeah. That was never them. If you did it to them, they'd throw for 480 and you'd beat them. This team's different, but I'm going to tell you right now, the quarterback, BYU's quarterback, did not play very well. They were in his grill. BYU will have something for him. I give him a chance. I favor Texas Tech in the game, Segs, but I'm going to tell you right now, I would expect a much better effort. And if you come out of this, nobody should be like, oh my gosh, BYU beat Texas Tech. BYU's been hovering around the top 10 most of the season. They're a good, yeah, football team. So, and I'm excited to see physicality. Now, what's odd about this, Segs? You know what'll make the difference in this one? Somebody making a finesse play.
Right.
A play action fake on third and one, and you throw a touchdown. But the BYU offense has got to counter the toughness of Texas Tech's defense and show up, because that was the biggest problem in game one.
The SEC championship game, Georgia, Bama. Bama beats them early. They get them again. Nick Saban gone. Caleb DeBoer, year two, right back in the SEC championship game. Running back Jam Miller, long shot to play in this game for Alabama. I think that hurts them, because I know they don't have a huge running game, but he's their guy when they do, yep, have a running game. Ty Simpson and company, can they get another win over Georgia this year?
Yeah, thanks. Normally I'd say, you know, with Georgia, you know, Georgia wants to make him one-dimensional. The problem is, if you make him one-dimensional and that's Simpson throwing the football, he's pretty friggin' good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now, that's a tough son of a bitch. He is a tough, hard-nosed, and he's accurate with the football.
Yeah.
The problem is here, and I'm not even going to, will Alabama beat them, so Georgia's got a bone to pick. I get it, and I know Alabama and how good they are. Georgia's just a better team right now, Segs. They just are. Now, here's the issue for me. Now, Kirby's great at not letting them – there's been a handful of times the Tennessee game, say, we've seen it. There was some lull in the season where,
yeah,
Georgia was skating by and they weren't dominating people. But they started to turn that corner. They have. They look like the Georgia Bulldogs. And Kirby's really good at – there's no – I don't know if there's a guy in America that makes sure that a humble pie is delivered. That guy's as good as – you know what I'm saying? He ain't going to let them get too full and start putting rings on their finger just yet. But things that I creeps in, I'm just telling you, it does. I don't care what anybody says. It may not for Georgia, but I'm saying there is a tendency to know when it gets in – you're going to tell me when guys are sitting around on a Wednesday and had a beer this week, if they're old enough to drink, or pizza, or they're talking to their buddies, that they haven't mentioned each other? No matter what we're doing, we're in.
Right.
You're not getting the one seed right, yeah, now, Segs. So no matter what you do, you may, right, drop a little for a beer. You're not going anywhere. So with that sense, and you know how that complacency – Segs, think about it. If I tell you, you say, Well, it's not due till next week. I could get it done now and have a week go vacation. But I can do it sitting in the sand on my vacation. I'll get it done.
Right.
There's that tendency to let yourself get soft. Now, if you do that and they come out and Alabama's up 14-0, be careful. Because Alabama now, they're going to this knowing we are out if we don't win. I don't care what anybody says. They get beat by Georgia, even in a walk-off. I don't think they're going unless they get some kind of help. If they get beat, their mentality's got to be, if we lose, we're out. Going into this game, if I'm Kalen DeBoer, that's what I'm telling them. We can't rely on the committee to do this. Three lost teams are going to have trouble getting in. Texas is going to wind up, all of them. If you're Alabama, you're using all that to your advantage. I'm telling you, if we lose, we're out. Then the rest of the bonus. Do not let the committee have a hand in this. You got to go take care of your business. So in that way, if Alabama comes out and saves and they're not intense and they're not playing with passion and intensity, it's Alabama, Georgia. Of course, that brings down you. But the double part of it is Georgia can get down by two scores in the fourth and say, you know what? A quarterback's getting hit. Let's run it. We're going home. I'll see you in the playoff. Yeah, Alabama can't. So say whatever you want. And Georgia's a championship caliber team and has been. Kirby's been great. The sense of urgency there of all these teams, Segs, and there's going to be a sense of urgency. Is there any team that's got a bigger sense of urgency or should than the Alabama Crimson Tide in this?
This
agreed. So, if you get in with a loss somehow, okay. But don't rely on BYU. You know, Texas Tech beat them, and don't rely on whatever the committee's going to say. Take care of your business. You got nothing to worry about. Georgia doesn't have to worry about that.
One versus two. Ohio State versus Indiana.
Nobody's talking about the damn thing either.
Nobody's like talking about it. It's in Indianapolis. It's the game that nobody seems to really care about because it is 1-2. There's a good chance that both these teams already have secured byes, when we look at this. So I guess who do you favor? Or you know what? No, I don't even care who you favor. I want to ask you.
We know who we favor, Sigs. It's Ohio State.
Okay. Right. But when you're playing this game, do you go out and show everything that you have, or are you kind of holding back a little bit and maybe playing, I don't want to say safer, but just closer to the vest and not showing all your weapons, all your plays, all this, and you're just kind of making teams that you're going to see in the playoff think a little bit?
As we sit right now, when would both these teams play again? When does the playoff start, Sigs? 2 weeks?
Gosh. Yeah, something like that. Not
soon after the week after. Is it like the week after the Army Navy game?
Yes.
Like in mid December, right? I'm pretty sure. And if you have a bye week, when are you playing?
19th and 20th is the first.
There you go. There you go. So here's why, Segs, you're not worried about that right now. Between now and then, it's a full damn training camp.
Yeah.
You know, after Saturday. So I don't think you're worried now. You automatically know. Because you don't even know who you're playing, Segs. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know who's going to come to you in the playoff. So you're empty in the bucket because you know why, Segs? You don't want to chance anything if Indiana beats you up and all of a sudden Georgia wins big and you're like, damn, are we want this. So if you're Ohio State, you're treating it as if it is a playoff game.
Yeah.
So even though you know you're in, and when you say, well, what's the difference in Georgia and Alabama? Well, both of these teams are in. Alabama's not. And in this matchup, so there's a sense of urgency. And who doesn't want to go into the playoff with a one in front of their name, right, Segs? So I don't think you have to worry about. Do I think on the four scouting and the stuff they're doing, the advanced scouting and stuff, they're measuring. Okay, if we play this team, are they saving stuff or got stuff in the coffers that they can pull out of their library? Yes, but in this game, you treat it like it because there's enough time in between to game plan and do something different practice time that after this game. Now, if they're playing next week, Segs, you're damn right. I'm not empty in the bucket on this one. We're going to give you our best stuff, but there's some things we'll have for somebody next week. But since there's such a distance, people forget, things change. You don't know who it is. I would think that you're pretty safe seeing that Ohio State, as far as their game plan, get after it. And I don't expect much to change from their game plan. I can tell you this about Indiana. They're not getting beat as bad as they did in last year's playoff.
Yeah,
this quarterback's too good. He'll at least keep you in it. Yes.
Yes, and Cignetti has learned.
No question.
Since then. And let's make our final prediction right now for this situation that we've talked about ad nauseum over the last couple of weeks. When it's all said and done, when we get there Sunday morning, at about 11:30 Central Time, and we have the bracket sitting in front of us, the 12 teams, will the Miami Hurricanes be in it?
Should or will, Sigs? Committee? Are we talking about committee?
I think, will they be in it?
No.
We've answered should. Will they be in it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, you know what I'd rather you ask me? Will Miami or Notre Dame be in it, right?
Right, okay.
You think they will?
I think they will be no matter what.
Okay, that's what they see. That was my next question. Are they going to have to rely on anybody? They're getting in. They're, well, you're relying on the fact that the committee already knows that they're Miami's no, going to move up.
Okay, I can't say no matter what. If BYU and Alabama win, Notre Dame and Miami are out.
No doubt, and that's a guarantee. Guaranteed. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, I think if one of those two teams wins,
they're in.
Miami goes in over Notre Dame. Is my final prediction.
I think they will switch it. Yeah, and they should, Segs.
And they should.
They absolutely 100%. Should. So in that case, but I can agree with you and do it. I'm gonna put it this way. I'll take the other way. I think that BYU. What if I say BYU wins and Alabama beats Georgia, and both are gone. So I'll take the other side.
Miami are out.
But right. Oh. I think they deserve to be in, Sigs. I hate the fact that they have to deal with this, but you know what? It's the committee, the rest of it. You're probably right. But so you think that Notre Dame still, they're going to get left behind, that this was always going to happen.
Yes.
Not if the two teams win, BYU and Alabama, but just if those, and the matchup with those two, that's going to trump what happened and what Mario said about his team and the power five, the group of five losses, I mean, wins that Notre Dame had, yet they were playing against bad defenses, all that is going to work its way out. Yes, if they're spacing it out. And you don't think Alabama and BYU are both winning anyway.
No,
so that would get Miami. Yeah, if that's the case, I'd love to agree with you, Sigs. I'm not sitting on the fence. I just have a hard time trusting that they're going to do this because I know the Notre Dame power. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be fascinating how they decide these six teams. All right,
Miami's going to be watching a lot of football this weekend. With an eye to it.
Yeah, or they're going to watch none and just be pissed off all weekend, thinking they're out, and then maybe they get an early Christmas present from the
kid. And you know, Manny already said that the winner of the ACC championship.
Manny, he's
going Duke's in.
Yeah, Jesus. And then, real quick, before we get our six pack of picks. LeBron's 10-point streak, 10 points per in a game streak has ended last night. We talked about it the night before. He stayed in late into the fourth quarter of a blowout just to get the 10 points, and then he subbed himself out right away. 1,297 games in the regular season. So that's a caveat because, remember, J.J. Barea did hold him down in those finals in 2011.
Dude, you know, when J.J. Barea and LeBron James get together, throw out all the records.
But, Sean, here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing about this. The streak ends. Bad game two nights ago. Had the 10 points. Ton of turnovers. Has had the problems with the Suns game, the bench, and all that shit. Now he comes out, plays terrible again. Only scores 8 points. LeBron, now out for the foreseeable future with a left foot joint arthritis and his right sciatica acting up, which is what was bothering him early in the season, why he had only played the six games or whatever so far.
So is this the built-in excuse that the streak ends because he was hurt?
Yeah. Or whatever it is. It's just, we're seeing the end of LeBron right now in the NBA. And now there's whispers around LA that this is the final season, which I still don't buy.
Who retires first, LeBron or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. I think this is it for Aaron Rodgers. I think LeBron's
coming back another
is
one.
It's too arrogant.
You can go ahead and say it. Too narcissistic.
He wants the fucking goodbye tour in every city and everywhere he goes, he wants the presence. That's LeBron.
Dude, I'll be more shocked if he does retire than if he doesn't. Why? For the very reason to give him like when they gave Abdul the rocking chair on the thing, that everywhere he goes, he gets a gift, right?
Yeah.
That we recognize standing ovation. I understand why he'd want to do that. But put it this way, the dominant, consistent dominant LeBron James, even as physical as his body is, and the all in stuff, those days are done right now, brother.
Yeah.
They're done. They're done. Because yeah, now these kind of injuries, the sciatica, and that's these, when you're, if you're not all in, those things linger, Sakes. They do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with you. I think he'll go on the old concert tour. Yay, this is my last. You know, that one, Sakes would have. Elton John's on his, and George Strait have been on their last concert tour for like 30 years, right? Yeah. But yeah, I think that you're going to, he's going to want to go out, us praising him and telling him how great he's. And he's been great. And the truth about that streak, Sakes, it is an alarming, I mean, 1,300 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive where you like, not one night where you're like, man, I'm 0 for 17 from three, you know, where you just, or you just like have the flu and you're playing. Now I know load management comes in and you take some of those nights off. I'm just talking about when you're out there, those nights, it's like, okay, I'm going to get my 10. I mean, that's 13 damn 100 games, man. It's pretty impressive. I mean,
it's impressive.
But you can't be shocked at now the post.
Yes.
Why he's getting, like, why he's hurting.
No, I'm injured and I'm out for a while.
And I want to say one thing.
My team's 15-5 or 6, whatever they are now. Like, we're really good, but, you know, I'm hurt again.
I'm going to tell you what. I know he likes winning, Segs, and he's a competitor. Do you think he loves them winning without him?
No.
Because they're not winning because of him. They're winning in spite of him.
He hates seeing Luka come here and dominate and do what he's doing on his team.
Yeah, I think that chaps his ass to no end. He's a great competitor, but I think it chaps his ass. Another reason, I don't think he wants to go out us talking like this, where it's like, oh, he's just a guy. I think he'll want to come back in shape. He may only give you 20-some minutes a night in his last one, but like 16 points and 8 rebounds, where he can at least go out and say, man, this beast played another year after the injury, no doubt. And I do want to answer this real quick, Segs, and we'll get out of here. Is, I'm trying to remember where it was. Was it Grass Guy? And you're exactly right. And when I haven't, I'm sorry, guys, I didn't look much on the column. You guys are always great. Segs and I were so into this today, but Indiana hasn't seen a great defense yet. But I can also tell you this. Ohio State probably hasn't seen a thrower like they're going to see this weekend. So you're exactly right. Got to keep him. If you keep him upright, Mendoza's going to deliver the ball. He'll make some throws. But you're exactly right. And Ohio State's damn good. But they're also in their locker room saying, we haven't seen it. We haven't faced a guy who's going to possibly be the first pick of the draft like this year. And Mendoza's really damn good. Whole key is, can the physicality, which they are, can you keep your player standing upright in the pocket? If he gets hit the whole game, this will be the same result that Ohio State's faced a lot. They'll keep winning. And we saw in the playoff last year, although this isn't the playoff, but at this time of year, they, not Sam's Michigan, but when they get into the playoffs, not named the conference championship game, this is a time of year like last year, they started to pick their tempo up. They got an ass whooping, and then they took it to, then they took everybody else for four straight games to the woodshed. So
yes.
We'll see how that goes.
All right, let's wrap up our six pack of picks. We'll fly through these games because we've already talked about them. Colts at Jags. Colts a 1.5 point favorite on the road with a 46.5 over under.
I'm taking the Colts. I'm taking the points. I'm taking the Colts. There, you said they're 1.5 point favorite or dog, Sags? Favorite, right?
Colts are the favorite on the road.
Right. Yeah, I like the Colts by a field goal or so on the road. I take the Colts. Colts stay in first place.
Bears at Packers. Packers 6.5 point favorite, 44.5.
Who'd you have in that game, by the way, Sakes?
I'm just going just because of the continued close games. I'm taking the Bears. I don't know if they
won. No, on the first one. Who did you take?
Oh, the first one, Colts. Yes, Colts as well.
Yeah, okay, and then now go ahead. Bears, Packers.
Bears, Packers, 6.5 point favorite, 44.5 over under. As I said, I have the Bears. Just so many close games that I think that trend continues. And we'll see who wins the game in the end, though.
Really, in truth, at this stage, the way the Bears have played and done it, both 6.5 seems like a lot of points, right?
Six, yeah.
It makes me a little concerned. But I think the Packers probably win the game at home, but I think the Bears are going to be close. I like this game. It's my favorite game of the weekend. Give me the Bears.
All right. Texans at Chiefs. Chiefs, 3.5 point favorite.
Chiefs are going to win it by a touchdown. As good as the Texans defense is, Chris Jones, they've put themselves on call. I mean, they put themselves out there. Chris Jones talking about the urgency. Put it this way. Chiefs season rides on this. And quite frankly, so does the Texans. But that's a hard place to go play. You will also know where the Kansas City Chiefs enthusiasm is in this weekend. You're going to find out if they're already thinking, you know what, I'll see you in 2027 or 2026. Right. So, But I love the Texans defense. But I just think in games like this, Andy will out-coach DeMeco Ryans. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think this is a big game for both teams, but I think Kansas City comes out ahead at home at Arrowhead. BYU, Texas Tech, Big 12 championship. Texas Tech, 12.5 point favorite.
I told you I like Tech, but I'm going to have some fun with this. BYU on the money line.
Oh.
Outright win. Okay.
BYU money line.
And I won't bet it for 1 second, Siggs. I'm not going to put my money where my mouth is because I think Texas Tech probably will win. But lots to play for BYU. I don't see them getting beat up like they did the game. Texas Tech's a better team. But I think there'll be some incentive for BYU. BYU will get closer. I'm just having some fun. And I got a bunch of buddies who went to school there. Just give me BYU, as I do at Texas Tech. But give me BYU on the money line for fun. They win this and disrupt a couple of those blue bloods to get in.
I'm going to take the Red Raiders. I think they I don't want to say they're going to just like destroy them, but it might be a late touchdown, you know, that they score to cover the number, go up two scores.
That's a monster number.
Yeah, it is a monster number. Georgia at Bama. Georgia, 2.5 point favorite.
Georgia's winning the game.
Yeah.
And I'd lay the points.
That's what I have written down as well, Georgia. I just think they're – Kirby Smart ain't allowing – two times in a year to Alabama, if it's Nick Saban or not, it don't matter.
Put it this way: if it does, you don't want to practice next week.
No,
even if they don't, you probably don't want to be around the facility if that happens.
Yeah, and then the Big Ten championship: Ohio State, Indiana. Ohio State, a 4.5 point favorite.
I take the Buckeyes.
Yeah, in the game. I do too. I think Indiana.
They're just better. Yeah, they're just better.
Yeah, I think Indiana will hang around maybe even for three and a half quarters, and then Ohio State gets that late touchdown that, you know, they're already up 3 or 6, let's say, and then boom, they go up 13, and then maybe Indiana gets a late score, but not enough time to come back and try to cover that
12 point. Like a 12 play drive where they wear out Indiana and running the football. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I really like Ohio, and I really like Stan. I think he's a good player, Sags. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
It's a really good quarterback matchup in the game.
Yes, it really is. All right, well, that'll do it for this week. Enjoy your championship weekend. Miami.
Yeah, North Texas tonight, right, Sags?
North Texas and Tulane's tonight, so that'll be fun.
Two teams that head coaches are leaving that are going to bigger programs that have done a hell of a job.
Playing for a spot in the playoffs, potentially, depending on what happens in front of them. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see how that all plays out.
When did you think, Siggs, that you were going to be tuned in and fired up about North Texas and Tulane? Not that they're not good programs, but in the past. I mean, this is a hell of a football game and a well-coached game. Can't wait to see it. Two good teams, two fun teams.
It's not like it's some, you know, like – Army Navy's fun for the atmosphere and everything, but once you get into the game, it's the wing tee and all, you know, all these old school offenses.
You're waiting for one big play action throw for a touchdown. Right. That's right.
These are two fun teams that we get to watch tonight, North Texas and Tulane. So enjoy your weekend of a lot of football. There's some good basketball. We got MSU, Michigan State, Duke on Saturdays, and along with a lot of other good college games. So, and good luck to Miami.
Yep, and Willie
should be in the playoff.
Willie, you say Miami will be in the college football playoffs 2025. I'm with you. They damn well should be. I just have a little trust issue with the committee and Blue Bloods, that team that has the initials N and D in their name. But I am with you. Miami's earned the right to be a top 12 team.
I got a buddy who is an offensive lineman on that 0-1 team, the Hurricanes team with all those legends, and he's just been active on Twitter. No, Facebook, just like, you know, all the reasons why Miami should be in. And
is he in your area, Siggs? Is he a buddy from your hometown guy?
Yeah, my boys play baseball with his boys and stuff.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's got to be good banter during the week. He's ready.
Yeah. So
love it.
A lot of fun. But all right, guys, thanks to Bailey, Triple E, Laura, as always. Thanks to all of our listeners and followers. Go like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Get the
thanks to Augusta Precious Metals. Sponsor for us. Go check that out. And Sags, appreciate you guys and our great listeners and viewers. And you guys entertain us the whole time. Love your insight. And thank you for being patient for the late start with the weather. And I'm going to go smoke a cigar and a little bit of bourbon and get my weekend started, my man.
It's like 8 degrees outside, so I can't go outside and smoke a cigar. So
don't be a pussy. Okay.
Hey,
Yes, be one.
Your ass wouldn't be out in 8 degrees smoking.
Dude, mine's been like 50. It's like four, high 40s or low 50s. And I'm like, well, should I smoke one outside?
Yeah.
Or turn the outdoor heaters on like a real, like a soft, like a pussy, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I just was going to put that on you and play tough guy. But yeah. You're damn right. I'm going to have a coat on.
You and your heaters. Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
Into the house and you'd be sitting your ass right by him too. So what are you kidding about?
I would. We'll be back Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. Coach JB will join us as he always does. And we didn't have him this week because of just the time change that we had on Monday. Yep. So he'll be raring to go.
I can't wait to turn him loose and just say, have at it, brother. Let him rip.
He'll have plenty of opinions on plenty of topics.
You can check JB's show out. He has that. The JB show's the morning drive. And, you know, you'll always get great. If you want a wake-up call and you like Red Bull, you don't even need it, JB. No. He'll get you, man, which I love. So,
and you have no idea where that show's going to go half the time.
That's what's that's the great thing about it. When it's on the rails, it's the concern. Off the rails is what we love. There you go.
Yes, love for it. Sure. All right, we will talk to you guys on Monday. Peace.
Sean Pave, Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.